You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. I'm Sarah Marshall, and this podcast takes a look at how two news outlets are finding success in long-form video. Stephen Folwell is the Director of Business Development and Brand Extension at The Guardian. So why is The Guardian optimistic about long-form video and well-placed for internet-connected TV?
We've sort of been waiting for a moment when the living room properly opens itself up. So that's definitely happening, both through tablets and connected TV, making it much cheaper to get into that particular room. We think we've got a terrific brand, and we think brands are going to be really important on TV, even more so as the sort of choice proliferates and people get exposed to an ever greater variety of things that they might want to watch. We were quite early, at least in our sector, in experimenting with connected TV apps. We've had an app on Google TV in the States out for about 6 months now. And that's been showing some good promise. Whilst the numbers overall are not huge, we're seeing people spend about 40 to 50% longer watching video on the connected TV as opposed to desktop. And we're also critically seeing most of that viewing happening in evening sort of peak time hours. And that for us, as what used to be a newspaper and now a really successful news site, that is the time of day that still we think there's loads of opportunity, because it's the time of day that historically, from a media consumption perspective, has been dominated by the linear TV channels.
So give us a couple of examples of the types of videos being produced at The Guardian.
We try to make a distinction now between what we produce for the site, which is going to be much more current, much shorter form, both by necessity but also because that's what people want to consume on the desktop, and longer form stuff. And we've got a great track record in long form, documentaries in particular. So we won two Webbies this year, both for video at The Guardian. The one we're particularly proud of is a film called I Will Never Be Cut, on the very difficult subject of female genital mutilation in Africa. And that was a 30-minute piece. It's reached a very wide and influential audience, and being used by NGOs on the ground in helping to communicate the issues around FGM. We are also experimenting in turning some of our podcasts from audio only to audio and video, or video only. So we've taken Film Weekly and turned that into a 30-minute film show, the Guardian Film Show, which goes out each week on a Friday. And the viewership for that is in hundreds of thousands as well. And we're working with partners like Glyndebourne and other cultural partners to deliver a long-form live performance. So we've live-streamed or put on demand five operas from Glyndebourne this season. And that, again, reaches a very sort of wide and particularly interesting and international audience, who are more than happy to sit down in front of, at the moment, largely their desktops, to spend up to 3 hours watching fabulous performances and all of the stuff that we can then bring around that. I think that's the other really interesting thing about The Guardian's role vis-a-vis long form, is that for people who want to make that kind of commitment to sit down and watch something, we can do two things for them. We can help provide greater context and background to it beforehand through videos and articles, but also during it we're able to be a companion to the experience. We do a lot of social outreach around those performances, so people can tweet about them either as they're going on or beforehand, and we also in some cases have live blogs around them. So what we're trying to do is deliver an experience that sort of goes beyond the traditional long form experience.
Vice is also an interesting example in the long form video space. Here's Daniel Hewitt, General Manager of AdVice, a division of Vice Media. So for anyone who doesn't know what Vice is, give us a potted history.
Vice started as a free fanzine in Montreal in Canada just over 15 years ago, and rapidly expanded globally. So we have offices now in 34 countries, and video is really the key driver of the business, both from an audience perspective and also from a revenue perspective. So whilst the magazine is still running and still a really important part of who Vice is, what we stand for, and our editorial output, it represents less than sort of 5% of our overall revenue. Where video really came to the fore was really technology driven. So as the cost of video equipment came down and the cost of video editing software came down, so we were able to create more video content for ourselves and get it out on our owned and operated properties. So that started almost 5-6 years ago. And then with new platforms coming into the fold, places like YouTube and Vimeo and Facebook, we were able to syndicate and distribute our content to new audiences in those places.
So what kinds of documentaries are being produced at Vice?
So we have at least 30 ongoing series franchises, video franchises at the moment, and they range editorially across fashion, music, travel, culture, art, you name it really. And they're all character-driven stories. When we go out and we film our documentaries, we do it very differently to other traditional media businesses. So we won't go into places with big film crews. So our founder, Shane, has been to North Korea, for example. And we tend to go in slightly guerrilla in fashion. So take a series we have running at the moment, a sports series called Rivals. So the first documentary was up in Scotland, and it was looking at Rangers and Celtic and the kind of historic rivalry between those two clubs and where it stems from. And to go and get that insight and to meet the personalities and the people associated with the clubs and the passion behind it is that we send up a 23-year-old journalist with one producer who's very capable cameraman as well, and just embed themselves with those fans for long extended periods of time. It can be months, in fact, going back and forth. And what that does is it allows us, A, to produce content quite cheaply because the resources are low, but it also gives us an intimacy with the people that we're spending time with, so there's trust built up as well.
So what does all this mean financially? How is The Guardian planning to make money from long-form video?
So we've got three main streams of revenue for video content. Sort of good old classic pre-roll display advertising. And if we could deliver three times the amount of views that we deliver at the moment, and we're already up 100% year on year, we can make basically three times as much money. There's a huge demand out there in the market for the kind of material and audience that we're providing from advertisers. So that's growing strongly, and we can do more there. Sponsorship is the biggest area of revenue for us, and we think that will also be a very large area on TV. So we've worked with the likes of Cobra Beer to produce videos which they funded in Mumbai to tell the story of modern India, and they ran as editorial on the Guardian site. That was an extremely effective deal. HP have been a long-running sponsor of the studio sessions we did for a series called How I Wrote, which is a weekly session in our studios from artists like PJ Harvey and Damon Albarn. In fact, we had 8 of the 12 Mercury Muse Award nominees in the studio last year. And those kind of deals for the likes of HP are brilliant because they provide, you know, content and material and association for them, but also stuff that we want to produce for the site and I guess in the future for TV. And also syndication is an area we want to grow. And we've recently brought in new talent into the organization who've got a really good understanding of the broadcast market in terms of syndication. And we've just struck a really good deal with Nintendo to take our brick by brick recreation of the Olympics videos onto their DS in 3D. So that's an example of a newspaper publisher like The Guardian shooting 3D video and then syndicating that onto Nintendo. So we're really trying to explore, you know, all areas for revenue growth. But you know, hope that gives a sort of sense of the kind of stuff we're doing.
And for Vice, what's the commercial model?
The commercial models around the creation of a unique original video content is still don't work, in fact, right? So if you think about our ability to be able to go to somewhere like Liberia and film a documentary on child genocide and warlords, if we were able to produce that at a cost of less than $50,000, let's say, which is incredibly cheap for a 40-minute hard-hitting documentary, to realize any kind of return on that, we would need to be able to deliver more than 3 million video streams based on current video ad models, right? So pre-roll and things like that. Now, 3 million video streams is a lot. And not only that, but you'd have to run ads on every single one of those video streams, intrusive ads at the same time. So big 30-second TV, online TV ads, effectively, in front of this content. So it effectively doesn't work in that way. So we couldn't go down that route ourselves. Like, we have a lot of video inventory. We're a media business, so we operate day to day, week to week through ad revenues. but we also work with brands to create content, legitimate content that talks to their consumers and their audience in the most appropriate way. So we don't think about branded content. We think about telling stories and making content that relate to brand messages or products.
So if viewers are watching longer videos on connected TV, on iPad, on mobile, often in the evening, can the same films be repackaged and repurposed for shorter online video snacking? Daniel Hewitt from Vice.
We're still experimenting in what's most appropriate. So on our owned and operated platforms, we will slice up longer form documentaries into 7-10 minute episodes. But at the same time, we'll also release the full-length documentary. So you'll see that across our fashion series or the Vice Guide to the Olympics, which we recently released, and things like that. So we give consumers the option for whatever is most appropriate for them.
And The Guardian is also segmenting longer video content.
So the film show is a great example of packaging it up. So the film show, whilst it runs as a long program, we package up around the individual films that are being reviewed. So we have Pete Bradshaw and Sam Brooks reviewing the films in the Guardian offices, and it feels very much like the Winkleman show on BBC One, but you can then cut that down and place the individual films on the site, which obviously works brilliantly for people who are looking to go and watch a film, learn more about a specific actor or film, and works very well from an SEO perspective as well. So we, in all the long form we're doing now, probably with the exception of long form investigations, which we see as more standalone pieces, we're thinking about how we can get them to work both as a single piece on TV or tablet, but also more atomized versions on the desktop.
We'll be publishing a written feature on long-form video on journalism.co.uk in the next week or so, so keep an eye out for that. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.